Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
And Joe at RTE, we're trying to get someone from Phone Watch to come on the programme. Like, it seems a fairly simple request. Would someone from a phone company come on a phone show to explain what the protocols are about your sales reps knocking from door to door? So we're waiting for Phone Watch to come on the programme. I'm sure they'll come on a phone show. I'm sure it's their bread and butter, the phones, aren't they? Let me go to back to an issue which, again, in a really, really difficult and moving way, was raised on Monday by Aisling. About her husband, Neil, who died a month ago on Monday, 4 weeks previously, actually, on Monday, unexpectedly, suddenly, incredibly young age, 42. And on Monday, along as it happened, that was her child's birthday, her son's birthday, as well as his birthday cards. And you can imagine how upset that child was celebrating, marking his birthday without his beloved dad. But in among the postage was a letter to Neil, and the letter said, "Dear Neil, just to let you know that your COVID test has passed, is negative. Please go about your daily life, but if you do get any symptoms, restrict your movements." And the COVID test was taken when he was deceased, because obviously for protocols in hospitals and undertakers, they need to find out if there is COVID. COVID was not the cause of the death, obviously. Paul Maguire has contacted us. Paul, good afternoon. You say... You get angry. You say you get angry. First of all, condolences on the passing of your wife. Suddenly, only a month ago, Mary. You say you're angry that officialdom are hiding behind the pandemic. What's happened in your case?
Yes, Joe. My wife passed a year ago, and there was no pandemic. And she passed suddenly. Very fit, young, 63-year-old woman.
Okay.
So obviously, they needed an autopsy.
Yeah.
So about 8 weeks later, the autopsy comes back, and Mary was Mary's name. The name in the body of the report was a totally different person.
Okay.
So, like, the systems, due care is not being taken in really important communications. You know, I mean, that's the official report of my wife's death. With the wrong name on it.
So the report is correct.
The report are correct,
yeah.
But the name is wrong.
And is it wrong in Christian and surname, or is it a typo?
I won't mention the name.
No, don't.
Somebody else died at that time, it might upset them.
Yeah, of course.
But it's Miss X, which is a totally different name.
Okay, so it's not a typo or a mis.
It's not a typo, yeah. It's repeated. It's the systems, obviously, but... Due care has to be taken before sending out that.
And I don't know, Paul, apart from the trauma and the grief you're going through for the past year, but what goes through your head when you get it? One, to get a post-mortem report is not an easy thing to get or read coming to your house. But what's going through your head when you're saying, hang on, is this my Mary?
Yeah, well, that's exactly so. And the reason I wanted to report, because for her siblings and for children as well, to see, is it something that's hereditary? Now, as it turned out, it's not. So that was a big relief, because I was able to tell them that, you know, this is not hereditary. So yourselves and your children needn't be worried about it.
Okay.
But... Like, that was the good news I got there.
Okay.
But it's just the systems. Somebody needs to double-check before something like that is sent out.
And Paul, what did you do? Did you get back onto them and say, can I have...
I did.
Yeah,
I got
okay.
onto the coroner's office and I got it corrected. But it's, you know, it's...
And
it's
did
not...
they say what had happened, or obviously they apologised?
No, they did apologise. Yeah. And they did correct it. Okay. But it's just... For people who are in that situation, like, before you send another report like that, and like that lady, that poor lady and her children on Monday, mm-hmm. like, it's just crazy that the systems are broken and have been broken long before COVID, so they can't hide behind that.
It's a tough one in the midst of what you're going through. But Paul, if you would, if I can indulge, ask for your indulgence to listen to Kay.
Sure.
Now, Kay, good afternoon. You lost your husband last year. Paul lost
yes,
his wife.
Yes.
And did he die, can I ask? Well, you tell me what you want, Kay. Did he die suddenly? Or?
Yes, I woke up one Sunday morning. He told me he was going to a football match on Sunday morning and he was going to be gone early. And I always have a lie on Sunday.
Okay.
And I got up. And he was up and everything, so I thought he was gone. The house was very quiet, and I walked into the kitchen, and we have a sunroom off the kitchen, and all I saw was his feet.
Right.
And he was behind the coffee table, but he was an awful messer, and you couldn't take
okay.
him serious at all.
Okay.
So I start to say, Kieran, are you, his name was Kieran,
yeah.
Kieran, are you messing, are you playing dead?
Yeah.
And there was no answer. And it was funny how your mind, and I just said then, is your back at you? And I don't know why I said that, because he didn't even have a bad back.
Okay.
And then I walked towards him, and it was when I went around the coffee table, it was just shocking. I mean, he was lying there, his face was purple, and you'd think you'd be able to, but I could not even ring 999. I couldn't hold a phone. It was in my nightdress.
God.
And I ran out of the house and I ran screaming. I live on an avenue and I didn't know. And then my neighbour lives across the main road and he's a retired doctor. And I ran over and banged on his door. Strange how it was. I thought he could do something, even though I knew Kieran was dead, but I didn't,
okay.
you know. So he came running over with me and we have a little chihuahua and he was on Kieran's chest. Kieran's head started to move and I said, oh, he's alive, he's alive. And my doctor, or retired doctor, just looked and said, no, he's not, he's dead. So Kieran was 63 and...
so young.
Well, what happened afterwards, I suppose there's one or two things I want
okay.
to talk about.
Okay.
What happened afterwards was... the doctor, eventually it all kicked off and he was, we have no children, it was just me and him, we were married 32 years. You know, you need to call somebody. I just couldn't think. And the only I could think of was my sister Mary in Waterford. And he said, no, you need somebody nearer. Anyway, I needn't worry. I phoned my friend Philippa in Dublin. And it's like as she came in a jet, she was there in seconds. But Kieran was left on the floor for 6 hours.
My God.
And I lay beside him and my sister when she came up from Waterford and we both lay each side holding his hand.
Stop.
And I never,
okay.
this has never happened before to me and I don't know the protocol. But he was a great, he played for his county in that and the word got out in Newbridge and everybody knew. So
and
one
why,
by one,
why,
all his friends ran into, they all, and they ran in the door. And because I was on the floor, lying beside him, holding his hand, myself and my sister, I suppose it was like watching a movie. One by one, Bill, Pat, Ivor, Paul, all his friends, they just ran to the house. But nobody expected him to be there.
Yeah.
He was in his pyjama bottoms. And he was a very private man. And, you know, Mary, my sister often said to me afterwards, I feel so bad at his dignity. And I didn't really think about how long. And then I remember the guards coming and then two doctors, my own friend doctor, pulled me outside and to say, would you like an autopsy? And I was blank. I didn't know. And the young doctor said, if it was my brother, I'd like to have one. So I said, oh, okay, yes, I would like. And anyway, 6 hours, I found Kieran at 10 and it was, I think, about 4 o'clock before and half the town had seen him on the floor and me there not dressed. And
don't worry, Kay, I cannot imagine. Please do not criticise yourself or be... Anyway,
I don't do that.
I cannot.
I know now.
I cannot imagine a more... a scene more full of piety and dignity than you lying on the floor with your husband holding his hand and your sister, his sister-in-law on the other side. There is nothing more meaningful than that image to me. So just so feel just solace and comfort that you could do that. But why was he lying for 6 hours on the floor? I know you were with him.
I know, but as well, I think it was such a shock to all his friends. He was a great golfer, a great footballer. He was anything to do with a ball. And these guys, from lying on the floor, it was like looking at a movie, and they were running in. And then they all stopped and froze. And to see grown men, they burst out crying. And it was strange. They ran out the back garden. And I saw one of them. He looked as if he was trying to get over the hedge. It was too much for them because no, they ran to comfort me, but to see him and the colour of him and everything. But
and did you had somebody phone 999? Like,
no, my friend, my neighbour, the retired doctor, was there, and I did not know till out. Then the police came. And then there was, between police cars and everything is outside, I was wondering, did they think I murdered him? Or I was afraid to ask anything. And I wanted Kieran to stay there forever. But I did. It's not that I was in a hurry to get him out of the house, but it was just so awful, so many people looking at him like that. And I didn't know what was happening. And I only found out about a month later, my neighbour, the retired doctor, came over to me and he said, I want to explain to you what happened that day.
Okay.
And he said, what happened, Kay, was I went, I phoned the medical person in charge of a coroner or whatever.
Yeah, and because remember, you had a doctor there and
he
said, unfortunately, your husband...
Yes, I had two doctors there.
Kieran's passed.
And so he phoned to say we want an autopsy and the man in charge refused. And I didn't know this till afterwards. And seemingly a row broke out. And my friend said to him, they said, why are you even phoning me? You're not his doctor. You're not a doctor anymore.
But again, that...
Anyway, the reason that it took 6 hours for him to agree, and now I know that's why Kieran was left on
but
the floor.
But you don't, but Kay, you don't, well, tell me what your feeling is now, looking back on the fact that you lay with your husband for so long.
I'm privileged to have had been able to lie there with him, and also that he wasn't sick or anything. He obviously it was.
And what you were holding
attack.
His hand.
Yes.
Okay.
My sister was one side and I was the other, and you know his niece was there. My friends were around and that. But
so he wasn't alone. You were holding him. Somebody was holding him on both sides.
And I spoke to that man who's a retired doctor the other day, and he said to me, I will never forget that morning. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, I often think of it. It's bad enough. But anyway, it's done now.
And now the reason you phoned us is what happened subsequently, which was the whole thing prompted by Paul and indeed Aisling on Monday. But the whole... The mix-ups that can happen and the seeming insensitivity afterwards. You then phoned, I don't know, and it's one of your providers.
What happened was, the reason I wasn't going to talk to you about, my issue wasn't about Kieran, but then when your researcher spoke to me, but what I wanted to say as well was, after Kieran died, I had a lot of things, like everybody else, to sort out, and being on my own and everything, so the Wi-Fi bill was too high, and because Kieran used to work from home, and I wanted to reduce it. I won't mention the company, but I phoned them and I said, "Look, I explained what happened, and I said I'd like to reduce that. It's only me; I don't need a big Wi-Fi and that." And do you know what she said? Mm. She said, "Hold on a minute till we check RIP.ie."
For what?
And I went,
"For what?"
I said, "I know." I said, "Sorry," and she said, well, she said, you could be making this up. And I said, are you joking me? And she said, oh, you'd be surprised at what people do, with a real Dublin accent. And she went bunk. I was on hold and I was livid. And when she came back, do you know what she said? She said, oh, he's dead all right. He died on the 12th of May. I was so mad. And I said, do you know what you can do with your Wi-Fi? I said, how dare you? And I suppose I'm more angry about that now. I mean, there was no sense of it. She said, okay, your Wi-Fi will be gone in 24 hours. Sorry about your husband. Have a nice day. Gone.
So that person said to you, hold on. You say you rang in and said,
yes,
cancel my Wi-Fi. Unfortunately, my husband died suddenly.
Yeah.
And they said, hold on until I check RIP.ie to confirm that your husband is dead.
Yes.
And she did
and
that. Obviously, she did it because she came back with a date or something.
Oh, yeah. She said, oh, he's dead, all right. I said, you think I'd make this up? And she said, oh, you'd be surprised at what people would do. Yeah, he's dead, all right. He died the 12th of May. And I said, I'll tell you what you'll do now. I said, that's just disgraceful. And I said, you'll know what you'll do with that bill as well. And she said, okay, sorry about your husband. It'll be gone in 24 hours. So I don't know. This is a big company. My God, if that's the way they handle. That really upset me. Now I was so, and people often said to me, you should complain, you should do, you know, you should let them know that's not on. But okay. I had too much going on and I was too upset. And, you know, it's a year later now and I'm only able to talk about these things. But people should be very careful, you know, how they handle things on the phone.
Yeah, don't mention the company, Kay, because I couldn't bear having to read out another long-winded statement from a PR company.
I won't.
What they did. But I know you're Kay, above all, condolences on Kieran's passing. Obviously, a much loved man. By the way, you gave me that little scene when you came back into the house, your chihuahua.
Yeah.
Your little dog, I don't know what the dog's name is.
Taz. Yes.
Taz was with Kieran, sitting with Kieran.
He was on his chest and he was licking him and maybe trying to wake him up.
Yeah.
We adopted this little chihuahua. My mother had died the year before and I adopted this little chihuahua.
Taz,
he was 2.5 when we got him. And Kieran adored him. And Kieran was a big, burly man. And to see him walking, the little chihuahua, you know, and I would be too proud to do that. What an image.
Beautiful. What a beautiful image.
But Kieran's head moved because of that. And when I came back in with the doctor, I said, he's alive. But Kieran, or Taz stayed on his chest while I was running around in my nightdress trying to get someone to help me. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all I have now little dog.
Oh, is it? Well, that's lovely in itself, Taz and yourself and all the friends, you're surrounded by friends and extended family as well. Kay, thanks indeed and condolences on Kieran's untimely passing and mind yourself.
All right.
And thanks for telling us.
Joe.
And Paul McGuire, likewise on Mary's passing. And thanks for sharing, because in this situation, hopefully companies learn from, and institutions and state organisations learn from this. Paul McGuire and Kay O'Doherty, Gura Míle Mahogat.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Mary, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. Just following on from the call earlier on from the gentleman who got the wrong name on his letter from the coroner's office.
It's post-mortem results.
His wife, what happened? It took me back. 6 years ago, my brother passed away suddenly.
Okay.
And we were told that there would have to be an autopsy because he wasn't under the care of a GP at the time. And so following on from that, then a couple of weeks later, we got a phone call to say there would have to be an inquest because the toxicology report came back with something on it. And that's all we were told. They wouldn't give us any more information. Now, we knew he'd had a couple of drinks the night that he died.
Okay.
So
we
thought maybe that was... So anyway, 6 months later, we're in the coroner's court and... because I had identified my brother, I was on the stand, you know, to say that, yes, I had identified him and all that. And the coroner said to me, would you be surprised if I told you?
Mm.
Sorry, Joe, I'm very nervous.
Take your time.
That that your brother died with methadone, sleeping tablets and antidepressants in his bloodstream. And we were horrified, absolutely horrified. We couldn't believe what we were being told. We were adamant that there was something wrong.
So they said sleeping tablets.
Methadone and antidepressants.
Okay, well, antidepressants, they're prescription and sleeping tablets.
Yeah.
But where were they saying he got the methadone from?
They couldn't explain it. We had cleared out his flat afterwards and we didn't find any evidence of any drug taking, anything like that, he wouldn't have gone down that route. You know what I mean? So, like, we even said in the coroner's court that day, if you're telling us that our brother died with all that in his system, he took his own life because he didn't touch anything like that. You know what I mean? It was. So we got on to the coroner's court again then a week or so later because we were not happy how things were left.
Yeah.
And they arranged for the guards to take a DNA sample for myself and my sister to test it against the sample that they had with my brother's name on it. And it turned out it was somebody else's blood sample.
Wow.
It wasn't my brother.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well done on your tenacity.
Yeah, myself.
In a time of great distress.
Yeah.
Well
done.
But
it was still a horrible experience, you know. Apparently they had two bodies in the morgue at the time and they mixed up the blood samples.
My God. Okay, Mary, what age was your brother?
Oh, God, he was 62.
Yeah, young. Okay, well, God rest him. And well done. The family would not let him go.
No.
And by the way, people legitimately take antidepressants as sleeping tablets, but methadone, you either buy it illegally or you're prescribed. But as far as you know, he wasn't being prescribed methadone by anybody.
No, he wasn't.
So there was. So they were saying he had illegal substances in his body that he hadn't been prescribed. Mary, thanks indeed and kind regards to you and your family and condolences on the death of your brother. That's Mary.